You will know the voice. You may not know the show. It's called Get Up. Is this too far of a reach?
And Kyler Murray, I'll tell you who Kyler Murray is. Kyler, are people going to compare him to Michael Vick? He doesn't look anything like Michael Vick to me. People are going to compare him to Lamar Jackson. He doesn't look anything like Lamar Jackson to me. You know who he looks like? If Barry Sanders was a quarterback, he'd have been Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray runs like Barry Sanders. You watch him run. You remember watching Barry Sanders run? Kyler Murray runs like Barry Sanders. And he's a great quarterback. He's a great thrower of the football. He's the closest thing to Steve Young. That's the best analogy to it. If Steve Young was 5'9" or whatever it is that Murray is. Murray is spectacular. The Cardinals are spectacular.
That is Mike Greenberg. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf. I'm in studio wife on the west side. Paul is on the east side. And Wolf, Bear, and Maloney are all right now in the Auction Community Studios. If Barry Sanders could throw a football like Steve Young, that would be Kyler Murray. Since Paul and I did not play against Barry Sanders, and even though it wasn't your job to tackle Barry Sanders, you've seen him from the sideline, Wolf. Is that Barry Sanders?
That's not Barry Sanders.
I see.
That is not. You got to be kidding. Nope. I don't know where Greenberg comes up with Barry Sanders, honestly.
Hey, can I say I covered Barry Sanders for 2 years? One of my first gigs.
Oh, when you were in grade. Yeah.
24-year-old punk. We used to cover the Lions on a regular basis. Wayne Fonts, that whole team. Their only playoff win basically in the last 50 years when they beat Dallas in the Silverdome that year. I stood eye to eye with Barry Sanders. Had many conversations with him. So first off, Kyler's bigger. But I'm never going to put anyone in Barry's class. They're different. At the very least, just the way Barry would stop and start, give ground, circle back. I was standing right there on the sideline. That
Barry
one time.
Did not run a 4-3 ball.
No, and he wasn't a burner. He did get caught from behind several times on what should have been 80-yard touchdown runs. But just his ability to break guys down. And remember the one where he turned around the New England DB? I was standing right there when that guy did a 360. So, and as for Steve Young, I covered Steve Young as well when I was an intern in college.
The throwing motion, nothing is Kyler.
Nothing is similar. The release, the throwing motion, nothing is similar to Steve Young.
You know what? Kyler Murray reminds me of Kyler Murray. I'm being honest, ladies and gentlemen. I've been around this game for a long, long time, Basinonians, and I'm trying to remember when I've seen somebody play quarterback the way Kyler Murray's playing quarterback. I'm trying to think, really, and Randall Cunningham was incredible, but Randall was long, and he was a long strider, and he had this whippy arm action, and that's not Kyler Murray. That's not. I'm trying to – Michael Vick, right? We all talk about Michael. Michael Vick didn't have the explosiveness that Kyler Murray has in a short area. Wishes that he actually threw with the accuracy that Kyler Murray has. Mm-hmm. Michael Vick did not have the accuracy. Now, top-end speed, no doubt about it. Michael Vick, I'll take him and I'll put him up against anybody that's ever played that position. But ultimately, Kyler Murray reminds me of Kyler Murray.
I would say we have no idea whether Kyler will continue to develop the football IQ. We have no idea whether he will continue to show the unbelievable level of maturity and class. But the only one that's close is Russell Wilson. And I say this very carefully because I don't want the Yahoos to try to say out there that I'm comparing the two from a success standpoint.
No.
But Kyler's more athletic. So, I mean, it's the explosion and athleticism of a Mike. I just saw Jay Feely just texted us and said the word explosiveness, and that's why it grabbed me. It's the explosiveness of Michael Vick in a Russell Wilson baseball body with a release like we've never seen. And the point of the conversation is, even though all three of us disagree with Mike Greenberg, it's that people have not even remotely – it's like last year didn't happen. It's like this year is the awakening nationally. Here's Tony Gonzalez.
Lamar Jackson But if you want my vote, I'm telling Kyler Murray's most exciting player there is in the NFL right now. When I watch him play, I get excited because he does plays like this. Look at him scan right, scan left. And his new toy, DeAndre Hopkins, is going to be wide open in the back. And then a design run. He's also got 41 yards rushing.
Okay, so we're going to run the Heisman campaign for Kyler once again, except it's going to be his MVP campaign. Here's how it's going to work the next 3 weeks. He's going to pick up where he left off against the Lions, and Matt Patricia is going to need two pencils behind both ears, okay? And he's remember what he did in the fourth quarter in overtime against the Lions, 20-29, 238, two touchdowns, no picks, passer rating of 117, ding. He's got a Lions team that's lost their last 11 in a row. You get Carolina's lost their last 10 in a row without Christian McCaffrey. They're deflated and depressed. That's going to be a jack stomping. Then you take it into New York, the East Coast bias guys, and you go big in the Big Apple, and you put it on them, and you go for a stats game. You jack stomp them on the scoreboard and the box score, and that's where the MVP traction really begins.
This is, to me, once again, this is really going to be interesting to watch right here, because anybody that has watched the Arizona Cardinals' first two games, you would say Kyler Murray has been the MVP of that team. You would say absolutely. Houdini pulled a Houdini act, Keyshawn Johnson, against San Francisco. And what? No, this is who he is, and I can tell you right now that the comparisons to Michael Vick, again, Michael Vick wishes he threw the ball the way Kyler Murray throws the ball. It's not even close.
Vick,
if you go back and look at
accuracy.
It. He didn't have half the accuracy that Kyler Murray has. Kyler Murray reminds me of Kyler Murray. That's the comparison.
Speaking of the hype train, by the way, if I follow along Paul's point, if you get through the Detroit game, the next four games are East Coast time against Carolina, a little bit of hype, but not much because it's Carolina. At New York, total hype machine if you're on the road at New York. Monday Night Football at Dallas. Holy crap, Dak versus Kyler, hype machine if the Cardinals win. And then you'll be the number one national game, I assume, on Fox when Cardinals-Seattle is taking place here at State Farm Stadium. That's the four-game stretch after this Detroit game. If you think there's hype now, oh my gosh! If Kyler keeps playing well,
a big win in the Big Apple, and then you get the national showcase of Monday Night Football against Dallas. I mean, that's where you really get to showcase your skills and the MVP campaign, no doubt.
Coming up next, there are a ton of things NFL-wise that you will be misinformed when you get to work if you don't hear NFL Soundgarden. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Feely's not golfing?
Mondays are almost always a full-on reaction to Arizona Cardinals football, and it's throughout the whole station, especially with Cliff Kingsbury on a little bit after 12 o'clock with Bickley and Murata. So Mondays, almost all Cardinals. Tuesdays, it's reaction to some of the Cardinals' comments that come out of Cliff Kingsbury and some of the other players during their media availability. But it also gives us a chance to take a look at the entire NFL, the biggest storylines, and make sure you know exactly what's going on based on some of those press conferences. And we call it NFL Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Soundgarden. Soundgarden with Doug and Wolf.
Maloney drives. She tells us the biggest things that happened in week two and preparing for week three in the NFL season. Maloney, what you got?
So I know Wolf really wants to talk about Patriots Seahawks, so we'll start there. Russell Wilson tied a career high with 5 touchdown passes on Sunday, giving him 9 through 2 games as the Seahawks beat the Patriots 35-30. But Pete Carroll was talking about the defense after the game.
For our guys to hang all the way to the end and have to go all the way down to 2 seconds and no time left on the clock and the whole thing, last play of the game, it's an extraordinary moment for football players and for a team. And, you know, you either come through or you don't. And there's so much intensity in that moment, and the guys on the field will never forget it.
Now, before I get your reaction, here's what Bill Belichick thought about that final play on the goal line.
About what you would think it would be. We had one play to score, and we tried to go with what we thought was our best play. What else is there to think about?
What's your question?
I love that.
Just a reaction to that? Is that what you're
saying? Soundgarden is just reacting.
Just a reaction right there. Okay, honestly, I'm not going to react to Bill Belichick, ladies and gentlemen, because he's right, 100% right. I am going to say this. DK Metcalf is 10 times better than what I thought he was going to be, Ron Wolfley reporting. All right? Oh, my goodness. The way he beat up Stephon Gilmore, are you kidding me? That was my biggest takeaway of that game. Other than the fact of how the Patriots are using Cam Newton, that was my biggest takeaway. DK Metcalf is 10 times better than I thought he was.
Number one, I have no problem with the Kyler Murray hype train on MVP because of Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. But there's one thing you have to realize when we talk about it. No one right now is anywhere near Russell Wilson. So we can talk all we want about whether Kyler Murray can be MVP. In order to be MVP, everybody's got to play better than Russell Wilson is right now. He is the MVP through the first 2 weeks of the season. Number two, you have to ask yourself the question, if they did anything other than that play to Cam Newton and it doesn't work, the world is going to go ballistic of why didn't you just trust Cam Newton? I think that's a fine play to go with to trust Cam Newton. And we're not giving, I'm so sorry, I don't remember the backup's name, but we're not giving enough credit to number 31, blowing up the fullback, coming off the edge, not only knowing the play was coming, but executing, blowing up a guy and making the play. That was just fantastic football. And too often we look at a Bill Belichick and say, you screwed it up, instead of looking at the player that exceeded more than any of the other 21.
The 49ers season has quickly taken a turn. The defending NFC champs will lean on backups Jerick McKinnon, Jordan Reed, and a host of others to keep them in contention while their starters heal. But after they suffered a bunch of injuries on Sunday, even with all of those, the 49ers did still beat the Jets 31-13. How you feeling, Adam Gase?
I'm pissed right now. I mean, that it's no fun going out there and getting your ass beat. So, I mean, we need to get better fast.
Yeah, they need to get better fast, no doubt about that. But I don't think that...
That scared the crap out of me.
Yes, fair. This is it right here, Adam Gase. Yes, let's have a press conference, shall we? And just stare off into the distance, moving our eyes like we were standing in somebody's house. Uninvited, of course.
Tell me, how bad would the Jets have been ripped if they fired Adam Gase after that press conference? And how much better of a position would the Jets be in if they would have fired Adam Gase at that press conference?
Right. Adam Gase wants to stand in your house, Basinonians, uninvited.
And he can see everything you put on your walls while still facing you.
Just basically staring around at everything and everybody. What is going on here? Are you kidding me?
Now, looking at the 49ers. We've lost Wolf. Could you have waited for the last one to do this, Maloney?
Let's move on then. You want to move on? We'll move on.
Okay, move on, please.
So the Buccaneers beat the Panthers on Sunday, 31-17, as Bucs tight end Rob Gronkowski has had a total of 4 targets on 33 routes run in 2 games.
Wow.
So how does Bruce Arians feel about that?
Not really. He got a nice pass interference call for us. Missed him on the over route. But it's not like we're not throwing the ball 50 times to the tight ends. So that's what we got receivers for. That's where our offense is built.
He just said it right there. He's so right on the money. Name a tight end that was getting off in Bruce Arians' offense when he was here. Who was that tight end that was lighting it up when he was here for the most part? Now, honestly,
name the tight end that was healthy throughout the time
he was here. I'm just honestly saying right now, B.A. throws the ball to his wide receivers. He always has. Go back and look at his record. That's where he really has focused his offense on. Chunk throws down the field, awful play action to his wide receivers.
I'll go a step further, though, and say, as of now, I think Rob Gronkowski is a shell of himself. And I don't
I don't have a problem with it. I understand that you're a human being. You've retired. It sounded great when Tom Brady said, come back. It's living in Florida. Okay, I'll do it. And suddenly you get out there and the passion just isn't there. He is not the same player. He's not running his routes as aggressively. He's tired when he runs. He looks old, and he's just not the same player. I think that might change as the season goes along and you get closer to winning a Super Bowl. Maybe it'll rejuvenate him a little bit. But as of right now, that is not the New England Patriots, Rob Gronkowski.
The Chiefs survived Justin Herbert's Chargers debut to beat L.A. 23-20 on Sunday.
Who's Justin Herbert?
I don't know.
I see.
A really good quarterback. So when did Herbert, the former Oregon quarterback, get the news he was starting?
No, I didn't think he was joking. He just came up to me and told me 5 or 10 seconds before kickoff, and it caught me by surprise a little bit.
Wait a minute. He did not say.
I didn't think he was joking. He just came up to me and told me 5 or 10 seconds before kickoff, and it caught me by surprise a little bit.
What? Seriously, why did I hear? Where was I? Why did I not hear this story, Mal?
Tyrod Taylor had some kind of injection for a rib injury, and it's just being listed as he had complications from the injection. Said he had chest pains, and they took him to the hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
This is all pregame, and boom, Herbert's the starting quarterback. And then after the game, when you went into overtime and he played reasonably well against the Chiefs, the head coach said Tyrod Taylor is still the starting quarterback when he's healthy, but there's no way he's going to turn around and be healthy enough this week. So what happens if Herbert wins and plays well? Listen, this is why Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. And I'm not saying Herbert's going to go out and light it up. Drew Bledsoe was a good quarterback. Drew Bledsoe is an underrated quarterback in NFL history. And he's a great leader. But he wasn't as good as Tom Brady in the games that he was hurt. And so when Bledsoe was healthy, it was the right decision to go with Brady. And that head coach had the courage to make it. And I think Anthony Lynn will too if Justin Herbert continues to play better than Tyrod Taylor. It was only one game.
You're telling me Anthony Lynn told him 5 or 10 seconds before the game started? I did not hear that. I know what happened to Tyrod Taylor, but I did not know that's how long it took for him to tell him he was starting.
Apparently, Anthony Lynn found out about Tyrod Taylor during the coin toss.
How? I mean, honestly, how
I didn't know
how
that,
is the news
really
delivered that late to Anthony Lynn? How is it delivered that late to the head coach?
No way. I didn't know that. I mean, I watched the game, but I admit totally, when I watch about 10 football games on Sundays, and what I do is I watch every play, but I fast forward between snaps. So I don't fast forward during the game as far as the play is concerned, but I don't hear a lot of the broadcasters and the stories. I didn't know that at all.
My goodness. I am stunned by that, Mal. That is a great story. This kid knew before he went out of the field.
If I'm a head coach, it's hard for me to keep my trainer if I find out my starting quarterback's out after that.
I did not know.
I don't know. Maybe the injection is that late in the process of pregame warmups or something. I don't know. Oh
no, you're going to get the injection. There's no doubt about it. You're going to get an injection, right? You're going to get that 10 minutes before you go out onto the field. But the fact that somebody didn't walk over to Anthony Lynn and go, hey, coach, we got a serious problem here. We got a problem. You need to know what's going on right now because Tyrod Taylor's not reacting well to this whole thing. So you need to know that. Who tells the head coach seconds before you go play?
What an amazing job of being tied with the Kansas City Chiefs when you have that kind of adversity pregame.
Man.
Wow. Oh, Maloney, that was outstanding. Coming up next, DeAndre Hopkins or spreading the ball around? You choose, wannabe offensive coordinator. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Here you go, Wolf. Just to finish up, Anthony Lynn.
That took me about 30 seconds to to process this. You know, I didn't know what was going on, but I immediately went and talked to Justin, and he did not flinch. And I was, like I said, I was pleased with the way he stepped up and handled the situation. But that's got to be a tough situation for a backup rookie quarterback.
That is Chargers head coach. We're going to be talking about the Cardinals and spreading the football around in just a second, but we were just blown away by Aaron Maloney telling us the story of Justin Herbert finding out that he's getting the start as the Chargers quarterback.
I found out right after the coin toss, to be honest with you.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody want to give me a heads up, coach? That, hey, yeah. You know what, Tyrod's not feeling well. Just want to know, you know, I'm not, hey, listen, everything's going to be fine. I just want you to know right now, we gave him a shot, and hey, he's not responding well to that. You should know that, coach.
Didn't see, and I admit, I watched the game, but I didn't hear about the story. So I apologize to those of you that are Chargers fans that wanted me to know that. It's the negative of all the games that I watched that I don't sit and listen to broadcasters very often. Cliff Kingsbury was on with Bickley and Murata yesterday. It's part of their show every Monday. Cliff Kingsbury has a press conference around noon, and then he immediately goes to talk to Bickley and Murata. So you as a listener basically get to feel like exactly what it is like to be part of the press conference, get your questions asked to Cliff Kingsbury. Bickley and Murata do that at about 12:15, 12:20 every single Monday following a Cardinals football game. And one of the questions Bickley and Murata went to, which were really interesting, especially after week one, what's more important in this offense, getting the ball to your best player like a DeAndre Hopkins, or number two, making sure you spread the ball all around to everybody else?
You want to continue to make sure that you're taking advantage of some of those matchups out there. But, you know, as I'm game planning, as we're game planning as an offensive staff, we definitely want to make sure we're getting each guy a certain number of plays that can get the ball in his hands. And it's a good problem to have. There's no doubt. We feel like there's a lot of guys who can create separation and make plays for us. And as an offense, you know, throughout this season, we just got to keep evolving and finding ways to get them the ball. And we've seen the impact D-Hop can have just, you know, on a defense, having to know where he's at, you know, double teaming, rolling safeties that way. It definitely changes what we're able to do offensively.
I love that right there. That's a good way to go, isn't it? Go ahead and script some plays for some guys, right? In practice, of course, get them ready, get them involved. And then when the game comes around, go with a hot hand. It sounds like an excellent way to proceed. In other words, what the defense may be giving you and what your receiver may be doing, you go with a hot hand. I love that approach by Cliff Kingsbury right there. And as a matter of fact, hey, send out the bat signal right now, if you don't mind. Kurt Warner, we need you right now. Hey, Kurt, if you're listening right now, would you call into the broadcast? Just call into the broadcast, because I'd love to talk to you in regard to spreading the ball, because Kurt Warner, Graybeard, ladies and gentlemen, was a master at doing one thing, throwing to the open receiver. He didn't care who you were. He was going to throw the ball, go through his progressions, and throw the ball to the open receiver. How do you mitigate that, Kurt? How do you control that, Graybeard? How do you control who you throw the ball to? And do you take note? Do you have your own little mental calendar, your little clicker inside that is counting how many times I targeted Larry, how many times I targeted Anquan, how many times I targeted Steve Breston, how many times I targeted Torrey Holt back in the greatest show on earth?
I'm going to guess his answer is zero.
I would love to know. I'd love to know how he does that, because I think there's sage advice here for Kyler Murray to take hold of, because this is going to be a story developing as Kyler Murray continues to develop as a quarterback, spreading the ball around to all of his weapons.
Because the reason why I say zero is because Kurt really felt like two things. A, if you want the ball, get open. I've got progressions. I'm going to go through those progressions. And if you're open, you get the ball before I go. So if you're progression three and progression two is open, deal with it. Don't tell me how open you were. And then when you go back and watch the film with your receivers, you got to be able to back up to each of them why you made the decisions that you made. Now, with Cliff, I think almost every fan understands this, but sometimes I don't know for sure if media understands it. Of course, there's going to be a couple wide receiver screens. There's going to be a couple plays where you say, Fitz is getting the ball here. That's Fitz's play. He's getting the ball, and you assume he's got a matchup that you like. But then as the game progresses, you might – the defensive coordinator on the other team, he knows what players stink on his own team. You know, he knows what players he kind of has to hide a little bit. And you might be able to pick out, oh, they're putting this guy over here or here's this matchup. But – what would you say, Wolf? 85%, 90% of pass plays that you're calling have progressions? And so it's I've got to get D-Hop the ball here. It's progression one. Up, he's covered. I got to go to progression two. It can't be hold on to progression one longer because it's D-Hop. I got to find a way to get the ball. Sack.
See, once again, though, honestly, it's not about holding it on. It's maybe, hey, 50-50. That's DeAndre Hopkins.
That's fine. That's fine.
It's a 50-50 ball. I'm throwing him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
See, I just wonder how often are you going to sit there and force the issue, even though you know DeAndre Hopkins might be the best 50-50 ball receiver in the National Football League. Throw him the ball while he's covered. Larry Fitzgerald is the same way. Throw him the ball while he's covered, and he's going to catch it. He's going to find a way to catch it and make a play for you. I just wonder at what point in time do the targets start to heap up in Kyler Murray's brain in regard to DeAndre Hopkins, and how does it influence him the rest of the game in trying to spread the ball around to the open receiver? Kurt Warner was the grandmaster guru sensei of this. He would just throw the ball to the open receiver, period. And he didn't care who you were. So I would love to talk to Graybeard about that once again. Graybeard, we sent out the bad signal for you. If you're listening right now, he's probably working out or something like that. I have no idea, but we need you, brother.
Always a smooth transition to go from a man of character in Kurt Warner to character counts. It's brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. And despite the season going terribly wrong, the D-backs are still doing the things that they do in the community all the time, and they just announced their give back to Education Wheel that is underway between now and Friday. I think it started yesterday. The Arizona Diamondbacks Foundation and the University of Phoenix are proud to present Support Education in Arizona, and each day throughout this week, the team will feature community programs designed to enhance and educate while raising awareness of the organizational initiatives. So far, the foundation has given more than $12 million to education in Arizona and $70 million overall to the community, such as supply kits for Teach for America, where volunteers from the D-backs and the University of Phoenix packed and donated 150 teacher supply kits. Teachers then pick up these kits. This past Saturday, they did that at Chase Field at a drive-through location while keeping everyone safe from coronavirus as much as possible in order to be put to use this very week and beyond.
That's a fantastic story. Well done, my brothers.
Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical, the proud partner of Character Counts. They award a $10,000 scholarship to a deserving student in our area. And when I say a deserving student, it used to be a deserving student athlete. And that's no longer the case. Because of the coronavirus and the hampering it's done on a lot of athletics, we decided, you know, for 1 year, let's open it up to anybody and everybody. So any student that you know of that's high school age that exemplifies great character in all that they do, we want to tell their stories. Nominate them. Let us know about it at charactercountsaz.com, and they could even win a $10,000 scholarship.
Sweet.
That is such a great event. Coming up next, 5-0 for the Arizona Cardinals. Or will they blow it? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Arizona Cardinals are 2-0. There are a few people that thought that would happen. I'll give credit to Lorenzo Alexander, who texted me about a day before the Cardinals 49ers game and said, "Look out. I really think the Cardinals have what it takes to win this game. I like them in this game." And I think everybody knew on paper they were better than Washington. And you look at the first two games and the dichotomy of those 2 points, that's pretty enormous of a team that's coming out of an NFC championship and they're at home and they're in your division and they're the clear-cut leader. And I think most people would say on paper had more talent than you do. And then you look over at Washington, and now it's more of a mental game. Are you going to read your press clippings? Are you going to say Washington stinks, we should win by showing up? Or are you going to come in and do your job? And for the first 30 minutes, none of the hype got in the way, and they end up now 2-0. Now you've got three straight games against teams that have not won a game and aren't anticipated to be even relevant. We're talking about three teams that will probably, at most, have 9 wins combined.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to do about it when you have these three winnable games, which are so enormous? Don't say these aren't big games, because when you look at that schedule the rest of the way, at Dallas, Seattle, okay, I'll give you Miami, Buffalo, at Seattle, at New England, who's better than we thought, at Rams, before you end it with Giants, Eagles, and then you have it hard again. I mean, that's a brutal stretch of games. Aren't you going to be happy you're 4-1 or 5-0 when you get out of that storm, because who knows where you'll be?
Yeah, absolutely, Douglas. You got to make hay right now, but you can only do that one day at a time, one game at a time. You can only do that. I know that's a cliche based on onions, but cliches are around. They're around because they're true, and that's the reason why people continue to say it. One day at a time, one game at a time. That's all you can do. You got to focus on today. You got to focus on the process. And you played a cut earlier this morning. You played two cuts that I'd like you to play again, Douglas, if you possibly could. Number one is Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury was talking about this issue right here and the leadership that he actually has inside that locker room. To me, it was a huge takeaway, and I don't know if you've got that ready to go, but if you could fire that off, Douglas.
It was yesterday when he had his exclusive interview with Bickley and Murata, which is every Monday at about 12:15 or 12:20.
I believe in the leadership on this team. I watch their work habits, how they approach the game each and every day, and their level of pride, too. You know, for 2 years, people try to make this place, a mockery. That's the only way to put it. And so that's not going anywhere anytime soon. We know, you know, how good we think we can be, and we're going to work to do that each and every week, regardless of who we're playing.
So what did Cliff, where did he go, Basin Onions, immediately, right? He went to the leadership inside the locker room. Ding, 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 ding. He's got it right. It's not Cliff Kingsbury, Basin Onions. It's not Steve Keim. It's not Michael Bidwell. It's not any of those guys. It's the guys inside the locker room that can control this. You got to focus on today. You got to focus on practice today. You got to focus on your technique today. You got to focus on the process today. You've got to ignore everything else and focus on the process today. And that takes leadership inside that locker room, not only to talk about it, Basin Onions, but also to model it all week long as to what that looks like. Cliff nailed it. This is the one thing I really love about Cliff Kingsbury, and I think it's understated. He truly is a player's coach. And when I say a player's coach, I'm not just talking about the fact that he gives them fruit during training camp, a fruit break. Right? I'm not just talking about that. This is a guy that understands the dynamic of an NFL franchise in the year 2020 of our Lord.
But he's also a grinder.
Yes, he's a grinder himself personally, Douglas, but he understands where this is going to happen. And it's going to be inside that locker room, and he's dead spot on.
And then earlier in our interview, our conversation that we had with right tackle Kelvin Beachum, we asked him, how are you a seventh-round pick that has been in the long – like, what's the key for someone like you being in the league? And he said, because I love football. But he said it's not just enough to love it because you get to run out and play it on Sunday. You've got to love – everything about it. You've got to love the grind. You've got to embrace the process. You've got to love it on Monday, preparing your body after the difficult Sunday. You've got to love it on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and every rep in practice or every meeting. That's truly loving football. So then when we asked him about not buying into the hype of being 2-0 and hopefully 5-0, then he said, well, let's go back to what I said before.
Well, it goes back to what I said earlier. We didn't. I'm just being flatly honest with you. We didn't play well enough yesterday. We have so much room to grow, and we're going to attack it in practice. We attack it in practice. We find ways to push each other in practice. We find ways to compete even harder in practice. You know, we've had very spirited competition periods against the defense, ones-on-ones on Wednesday and Thursday and Fridays. And we've got to continue to have those spirited practices and continue to push each other to get better. It's hard to win in the National Football League. And when you're beating yourself or putting yourself behind the chains with penalties and bonehead plays, you can't keep that type of success week in and week out. So we're not looking three games out. We're looking at right now. Right now, we got to clean up some things from this past game. And then we know we got a very talented team coming in that's hungry for a win in the Detroit Lions.
Kelvin, think about the difference to me. Well, I was going to say, well, think about the difference of these two statements, and I think they're easy to follow. Push yourself to be better than the Lions. That's kind of a low bar. Push yourself to be better than you were yesterday. Push yourself to compete against yourself and to be better at everything that you do. That's a dramatically higher bar, and you have much more control over that bar.
Absolutely. Kelvin Beachum for president. That's what I say. This, he's just so dead on, spot on. And this, it fills me with encouragement, ladies and gentlemen. It really does, because, man, you tell me the Arizona Cardinals locker room has this kind of leadership and this kind of mentality, and they've got a leader like Kyler Murray as well, a guy that goes out and makes plays, and DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, Pat P, all these guys that are uber-talented, hyper-talented, and you're going to tell me they got guys that understand what it means to focus on the process. Man, I am jacked, because this looks like it could be a special year right now. 2 weeks into the season, 2 weeks, and I'm embarrassed to say it, but 2 weeks into the season right now, this looks like this could be a special year for Big Red.
It's interesting you say that, because I talk openly about 5-0 for a different reason, because this city of teams, not us as fans, but the city of teams and the Cardinals in particular have had a history of having opportunities and laying an egg, of believing in the press clippings. Hey, we just came off of all or nothing. We just came off of an NFC championship game, which we laid a big egg. We now have this motivation. Here we go. We're fired up. It's the Patriots. Here we go. Wait, Tom Brady's not playing? Okay, never mind. You know, and did they actually come out and say that? Of course not. But you can tell by their actions that's exactly what happened. The intensity was gone. So I don't look at 5-0 and say the Cardinals should be there because they're the greatest team ever and they're going to win a Super Bowl and this is a team of destiny. I look at 5-0 as the mental challenge that it is. Do you as an organization have the character to go 5-0? Because this is no longer about talent. This is no longer about coaching. This is simply the preparation to play three teams that stink. And do you have what it takes to do your job when everybody's patting you on the back? When everybody is telling you how
sure.
great you are?
Yeah.
This is failure if they don't go 5-0. Yes, it's hard to win an NFL football game. But everything's aligned for you to do it if you embrace that challenge every day.
Do your process.
We can look past it. You know, like I got a tweet from Chris, who's a good listener. Good listener, not an idiot, that says focus on Detroit. Chris, you're 100% right for Steve Keim, for Cliff Kingsbury, and for every player in that locker room. But we don't have to focus on Detroit. If the Doug and Wolf show focuses on 5-0, the only way that that affects the Cardinals is if they've got weak people in the locker room that says, well, Doug and Wolf says we're going to go 5-0, so I'm going to listen to the media. If I don't think they do. I think they're going to go 5-0, but it doesn't matter what I think.
Absolutely.
This is a character test of them, and that's what I'm fascinated by, is to find out, do they have the character to do what it takes for these 3 weeks?
I'll tell you right now, Basin Orleans, I'll never say they're going to be 5-0. You know me, predictions, how I hate making predictions. Just ridiculous to affront the athletic process like that. At the same time, when you look at it on paper, the Arizona Cardinals are better than their next three opponents.
Yep.
There's no getting around that.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do about it? I'll tell you what you're going to do about it. As a player, you're going to focus on today.
What are you guys
going
to do about it?
That's right, Ty Domi. Brawl you, first of all, and then geek out because I got beat up by Ty Domi. But honestly, I focus on today. Focus on the process today. I love the fact that Kelvin Beecham was talking about that, and Cliff Kingsbury recognizes that and says it's going to happen inside that locker room. Well done, coach.
What are you guys going to do about it?
So what we just learned there is,
number one,
we're going to take on Ty Domi.
Number two,
we're going to get beat up by Ty Domi, but love the love what just happened to geek out.
Number three,
and then embrace the process of preparing to get defeated by Ty Domi.
We got
to
get Ty back on.
Coming up next, Maloney takes over. Everything that happened in sports in the last 24 hours, you'll be updated on what you need to know in the Rush Hour reboot on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.